Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Well, very good. We're going to be talking about foreign policy, believe it or not, today.
Wow.
We're going to talk about a peace index. And also, we're going to hear something from the Senator Rand Paul, because the vote is coming up today. And he was on the floor this morning, on the Senate floor. And I think we have a little clip here on Rand's arguing his case why
Ocean.
We should stop the
today
arms sales
we will
to
discuss
Saudi Arabia.
The involvement of the United States in the Middle East. And we will also discuss whether we should engage in a new war in Yemen. Today we will discuss an arms sale to Saudi Arabia that threatens the lives of millions of Yemenis. But we will discuss something even more important than an arms sale. We will discuss whether we should be actively involved. Should the United States be actively involved with refueling the Saudi planes, with picking targets, with having advisors on the ground? Should we be at war in Yemen?
You know, the time Rand was on the program a couple weeks ago, this subject came up because this was a big issue. And he talked about having come up previously and not doing all that well on the vote, but still doing good in the sense that there was one that came up a year or so ago, and he brought it up and didn't get a tremendous amount of support and votes. And yet, Obama then backed off a bit. So the public relations, the public issue is pretty important. Right now, though, there may be a chance that he's going to do a lot better on getting the votes. Not necessarily for the most noble reason that they've all come our way, but, you know, in politics, you take your votes where you get them. But right now, it looks like a bunch of Democrats are going to come over, and there are some good Republicans that will support him for this. So it's interesting to see because they've had the debate. What we just reviewed here was this morning. The debate was going on, but the vote will be this afternoon. So people still have time to call their senators.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I mean, I think you make a great point. People say, oh, you know, you can't get the votes. But you're right. They lost last time, but they won because I think President Obama saw the numbers and said, you know, this is too much. But, you know, today this is the resolution of disapproval for President Trump's announced arms sales to Saudi Arabia. And in the clip we just watched, Senator Paul says, you know, why are we going to be complicit in this war on Yemen? All these people are dying. The Saudis are in this war. Should we be picking targets? Should we be giving them the weapons to do it? And I think it's a good point. And I think this will pass or get close to it.
You know, Israel's an interesting player in this, too, because Israel gets along very well with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But they're not making a lot of noise about this. They're not saying, send more weapons to Saudis because who knows what the future may bring. But they're not really entering into this. But, you know, Schumer, who's not exactly, you know, in opposition to anything Israel does, he came out in support of this resolution. But there's politics involved. You know, if they can embarrass the president, they would. But we're not in the business of embarrassing people as much as calling attention to people of what's going on and why are we selling all these weapons and pretense about supporting the country that we see as one of the worst, if not one of the worst, violators of civil liberties in their country, and then we still give them more money. So I think there's a lot of symbolism here, but there's a lot of reality here. And then you throw in the other factor of who really is going to benefit, and those people who get to sell the weapons. And even Trump, when he presented this after, I think even while he was still in Saudi Arabia, he says, you're going to get a good deal, you know, and talking about, he has influence with these business people. So everybody knows that's what it's about, but it is no excuse. So it'll be an interesting vote this afternoon.
And I remember early on, I learned when I came to work for you, the logic of saying the U.S. shouldn't really sell its weapons to any country, regardless of whether they're even allies, because it's really kind of a socialization of costs and a privatization of profits.
That's right. And so much of it is good technology. I imagine there is, you probably, from our viewpoint, you probably can't ban gun. Ban a knife, or maybe a gun that almost anybody could make. But when it comes to high technology, where they have spent billions of dollars and you know, F-35s and all this, why should this technology ever be sold to another country and do it indiscriminately as long as somebody's going to make a buck? Okay. So it is a big issue. It's going on, but maybe some good news will come today. It'd be nice to see this vote win and put the pressure on the president. But, you know, there was another thing that came up today under one of our favorite sites, Zero Hedge, and they had a report on the Global Peace Index. And that sounds good. I hope we did well. But I was disappointed. We didn't do all that well. They measure the defense of peace in 164 country, and we were down 114
or
114th on that list. So we're the lower the number, the better. So we're not in the top 10. But they did list, you know, an interesting point. They listed the bottom 10, and the factor that seemed to be prevalent in these of the 10 people who were less people, 9 of them were countries that we were involved in regime change and bombing and killing and all this stuff. So they're less peaceful, because we've interfered. You know, a lot of people wouldn't admit that, but of course I do now. And we you know, worry a lot about blowback. I don't consider this whole thing blowback, but this has unintended consequences. There is less peace, you know, when we throw ourselves around and get involved. And hardly would this be a demonstration that our foreign policy is healthy toward peace, and yet they use that argument all the time. We have to go there, defend our Constitution, promote peace, and all this stuff, which is pure propaganda.
And we do have the clip that we can show, the map of these countries. It's the 10 least peaceful countries are on the right, and as you said, Dr. Paul, of those 10, 9 of them have one thing in common, which is that the U.S. has intervened on the pretext of helping them be more peaceful. It turns out it's had the opposite of effect. Every country except the Central African Republic are countries that we've tried to save, including Yemen, which we opened the show talking about, our alliance with the Saudis, who've been at war in Yemen since 2015. But you remember the rhetoric first in on Iraq. First it was the WMDs scaring people. But then to get some of the liberals on board, oh, we're going to give them human rights and we're going to make it such a peaceful country. And here it is, yet again, Syria, Afghanistan, all places we've done regime change. The result has been in Somalia. 1990s on, we started there in the 1990s. Our dictator was overthrown, and we kept intervening, and it's still one of the least peaceful countries on earth.
That's right. So hardly can anybody justify more of our foreign policy on basis of peace. But you know, another scary part of this survey, this index, is that they don't measure anything that people do outside their own country. So this did not reflect any of our policy or killing and violence in all these countries. This was domestic. This was, you know, our streets. It's the safety and peace and civil liberties, and they had the index that they worked up. And if they considered everything that we have done overseas and measure that as they move toward or away from peace, we could be very well at the bottom. You know, and of course, the opposition would say, oh no, we're promoting peace. We promote democracy, and this is why we're there. We are the policemen. We are the good people. So that would be very, very unfair. But when you look at the details, if anybody's honest with themselves, they'd have to realize that what we're doing is not promoting peace, because the more we do, the less peace there is. And the more we have to spend on saying that, well, we're providing peaceful conditions around the world.
And, you know, one of those I wouldn't mind mentioning just for a second, South Sudan, I think is a very important one because, and we saw it in Libya as well, but it's what I would call the weaponization of human rights. You remember in the 2000s, this big Save Darfur campaign, and especially a lot of the celebrities and people like that, a lot of people on the left, They got on board this humanitarian thing to split Sudan in half because South Sudan was under the thumb of the evil government in Khartoum. So for human rights reasons, they had to split it. Well, the real reason, we've discussed it on the show too, was that all the oil is in the south, and that Sudan as a whole had signed a deal with China to help exploit those oil fields. So as soon as we split it up, the U.S. tried to go in. But look about the conditions now in South Sudan. As soon as they split, a civil war erupted, thousands and thousands of people killed. Where's Save Darfur now? Nobody cares about it. So it was not about human rights. It was about business interests, PR interests, and splitting the country up. And I think this happens in so many cases. People believe the propaganda. They don't try to look through it, whether it's war propaganda or peace propaganda. The results is the same.
Now, if the argument holds up, which I believe we can defend this argument, that more we're involved over there, the worse the conditions get, instead of better. But the justification for us being over there is terrorism. The terrorists are coming. But the statistics don't bear this out. If this is part of the problem is our foreign policy, there was one statistic between 1990 and 2015 that is estimated, and it's hard to count them all because there's so many. They believe that our policies and our bombs and our drones and our wars have killed and led to the killing of 4 million Muslims. Mm. And they can't be good. And they say, well, they were all terrorists. They were jihadists, and they weren't civilians. But we do know that there's a lot of civilians and children. And when I think of the justification given by Madeleine Albright, which we frequently mention, that she just blew it off, that 500,000 children died because of our bombing and our policy in Iraq. And she's, well, if that's the price you have to pay, to pay the price. And you can see why people would become more militant. And then our response is, it's way out of proportion when you look at trying, Trump's big on this. We're going to stop him. We're not going to allow him to come in here, and we're going to ban travel. And the countries that he's banning, nobody's ever come from one of those countries. Most of the people have committed domestic terrorism against us. The large number were born here, or got here legally. It has nothing to do, with illegal immigration, or does it have anything to do with the fact that they come here just to kill us? That isn't the case. It's much bigger than that. Not that there isn't some truth to what they say about why people are radical and why it's evil and vicious to kill innocent people on purpose, why it might not be related to some religious beliefs. That's all true. But I see that as a secondary, as a symptom of a policy that incites people. I think the perfect example of that would be us putting in Mossadegh in Iran.
Yeah.
And having that, smoldering there for decades until they take up the hostages and there's this American, Iranian, arguments going on again. So it lasts for a long time. But I think there's a lot of misinformation that we have a policy. We do these things. These countries become less peaceful. And unfortunately, we become less peaceful, too, because I think that our ranking dropped more than anybody else did, this particular year. And somebody said, well, it's still 114. Oh, that's horrible. I'd like to be in the top 10 is what I would like. our goal should be in the top of the list for promoting peace and prosperity, because that's what we should be involved in. But that's not likely to happen unless we decide that the neocons shouldn't be promoting our they shouldn't be promoting our foreign policy. I think there should be different motivations.
Exactly. You mentioned earlier, all of these people can't be terrorists that are killed. And I've seen it elsewhere, but I'm in the middle of watching this film that I recommend, National Bird. It's about our drone program and really the harm it does to the psyche of these people, even though they're not in the battlefield. But one of the statistics that the film pointed out, and I've seen it elsewhere, is 9 times out of 10, the person killed is not the target. So only once Only one person out of every 10 persons that killed was the target of the strike. He may be in a car with his family, with his cohorts, what have you, and they're all wiped out. So that's not a very good statistic when you're concerned about whether you're going to start radicalizing people, where you're going to have blowback, what, you know, or what else.
I think the hardest position for us to defend, and actually we're not defending it as much, but it's good PR for the opposition, and that is, if a individual decides to kill himself and they want to make a point and they throw in some religion, then they purposely attack innocent people. They go into a place where just kids are there and shoot up and try to kill as many as possible, which happened recently. But are they less dead, you know, when we the mistakes that you just mentioned, that, you know, wedding parties and different people just get blown up and killed? I mean, we do that in the name of goodness because we're the good guys. We are sending these drones over there, and we're the exceptional nation, and we're doing it for their best interest, and we want them to live like we do. We want them to have these democratic elections, and I would say that is a big source of resentment and a big source of why this violence is going to continue unless we take a step back and say, does our survival and our peace and prosperity depend in any way whatsoever to have any troops in the Middle East? Yeah. You know, what answer could they give you? They could come up with, oh, it's all about oil. Oh, it's all about getting people to join the modern society. We need to teach those Afghan people. I mean, they are still living in the dark ages, but they're not marching over here. The Iranians aren't marching over here, but they're involved in countries that are becoming less peaceful every day almost, and it just happens to be that's where we're involved, you know, in the civil strife and involved in regime change.
So I guess to boil it down, it's very simple. I mean, the statistics don't lie. Here you have it. Interventionism does not produce stable, free, peaceful democracies. U.S. interventionism overseas produces violence, death, and destruction. So we should stop doing it.
Yes, that's very good. And it is disappointing to find out that we're low on the list of being a peaceful nation, and they don't even count what we do overseas. That puts us in a bad light. And it's doing a great deal of harm. To our liberties as well. Under wartime conditions, people say, well, you know, there's great danger that there's so many terrorists, and yet if you compare it to other dangers, you know, it's so minuscule. Of course, somebody will say, oh, you don't care about terrorists coming. Of course we do. We care. We don't want anything, and that's what we're arguing for, even the bit that we have. But we're not talking about those 12 or 15, I think it's 12 in the last 15 years of significant terrorist attack here. We're talking about the constant attacks overseas, the constant bombing, and currently, you know, spreading weapons. This very day, we were talking about why should we, $110 billion worth of weapons being sold to Saudi Arabia in the midst of war, and we're allies with them in, again, a war in Yemen. I mean, it makes no sense. So we need to come to our senses and say, you know, non-intervention may be a good answer for our problems, may be a good answer for the world. And I, of course, believe that very sincerely. And that's why I also believe in smaller governments and not having empires to try to dictate to other people. If we did that, I think we would take a significant step in the right direction toward peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.